Welcome to the nara.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen, and we are recording live at Triple U Studios in Nara CBD. What is the nara.org.au podcast? It is a series and collection of stories of the people and characters who make up the fabric of this town of Nara. Today, our guest is Crystal Brandon. She is a UOW Shoalhaven graduate in nursing, but now is a licensed real estate agent. She's also one of the district coordinators for nara.org.au and has been working on this project with us over the last 18 months. She's also a community volunteer. She shows up for things. She says yes to a lot of things. She is in the Nara Players. She's the vice president of the Kangaroo Valley Folk Festival. She volunteers for Streetside Medics as a registered nurse. And she's also the vice president of the Shoalhaven Business Chamber. Crystal, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome. It's great to have you along, and it's been really fun to get to know you more over the last 18 months of working on the Nara project, nara.org.au. And every time we hang out, I find out little threads and new things about you. So I'm looking forward to jumping in today.
The world needs more oversharers.
So. All right, we can edit things out at the end too if you share too much. What's the most underrated thing about Nara that people always get wrong?
I think it's the people and the culture that is alive. Well, like, it's alive here. It's people pass it, they'll go off to Jervis Bay, or they'll come down to Berry or Kangaroo Valley, and they won't even blink an eye at Nara. And you do see it, especially on a Saturday morning when I'm about to go out to my open homes. I like to grab my coffee from Hyper before I go out and do those. And the people you see there on a Saturday morning between about 8 and 10 are the most interesting people ever. They're kind of like these wanderers that have gotten lost on their trail down to Jervis Bay and found this really cool coffee shop. And sometimes, you know, Ollie might be playing the piano or something around the back, and they're kind of wondering, like, where is this mythical place that I've shown up in? Oh, this is Nara, and this is Saturday morning Nara with the beautiful flowers from the salt farm displayed there for sale, and everyone in such a fine mood, and the doors playing and the sun shining and the corellas everywhere. And it's like, yeah, this is actually what Nara is. It's this unknown beauty that exists right here in the South Coast. And we can all bang on and say it's the worst place in the world and it's got all of its troubles, but tell me a place that doesn't have trouble. Mm. Everywhere has trouble. Mm. I grew up in Campbelltown. I know trouble. So,
well, so you grew up in Campbelltown. What's your earliest memory of Nara, and how did you end up in Nara?
I moved to Nara in 2011. We lived in Campbelltown until I was 21 years old, and my mum had always travelled for work an hour and a half for work each day, and she had this amazing opportunity to come down here and run a nursing home, an aged care facility, and she was like, oh, I'm really hesitant, didn't know if she should take it or not, and I was like, oh my gosh, you won't have to travel anywhere, you'll just like 15 minutes to work, it'll be great, let's do it. And I was 21, like, I thought in my mind, oh, I'll just move to Sydney and let mum go and do her thing. And I came down here looking at houses with mum a couple of times, and then she went and looked at a house on her own, and then she came home this one day and said, you've got to meet this real estate agent. He's so funny. He's so lovely. You've got to meet him. He's hilarious. And I was like, oh, surely not. Okay, I'll come down. Came down, looked at this house where this real estate agent was supposed to be, and of course it was his day off. And then I came down the week after, same house again, got the real estate agent, which is now my husband, Glenn. So we were completely set up by my mum. My mum ended up buying that house from Glenn, and I ended up moving to Camberwara, or Nara, actually. I was only in Camberwara for maybe like 2 months, and then we moved out together in Nara. And yeah, that was in 2011, and we ended up buying that house off my mum when I was pregnant, and we now live in that house that he sold to my mum and my stepdad.
Wow.
Super weird, hey?
True love story. No, that's so
weird.
Cool. You don't get so many stories of people moving to Nara for love, so I love that.
Well, he is he's a Berry boy, so there was absolutely no way he was ever moving to Sydney,
yeah.
Which is fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I moved down here in 2011, I went to uni at UOW Shoalhaven. When I graduated, I wanted to be in the busiest emergency department I could be in. So I went back up to Sydney and then we did back and forth. And then when I was pregnant with my son, I moved back down here permanently in the June and he was born in the October.
Yeah.
2018. Yeah.
Amazing. And I do want to talk about that, your early career in nursing, because now you've transitioned to real estate. But yeah. Tell us about like that, the first few years of being a nurse in the Shoalhaven and in Sydney.
So I was lucky. I went to the UOW Shoalhaven campus, which I give them so much praise for, because if it wasn't for that university, I never would have completed my nursing degree ever. So I did that. And then I got a new grad, which is the first year out in nursing at St. Vincent's Hospital in King's Cross. And so I got a great placement, which was 6 months in emergency and then 6 months on a really acute surgical ward. So I went up and lived in Darlinghurst and did that. And I stayed at St. Vincent's for probably 4 or 5 years after, and then transitioned down to the Shoalhaven. But nursing in King's Cross in emergency was like the best job ever. Like, it's still like, oh, still lights my heart on fire when I think about it. Like, every workplace is difficult. Every workplace has its challenges, but it was just so fun. Like, the people that you met, you could have, you know, your rich A-lister in a bed next to somebody that's been on the streets for the last 20 years, and there's no difference. That everyone gets treated the same. The Sisters of Charity still look after St. Vincent's quite well, and their whole mission is that they don't turn anyone away as well. So you would end up with ambulance after ambulance after ambulance, parked or ramped, whatever you want to call it, and a full ED because the hospital's bed blocked, because we never turned anybody away when I was there. I don't know what it's like now, but when I was there. And you could see, you know, intoxicated and head injury down to end-stage palliative care cancer, end-stage AIDS as well. You just never knew what you were going to get. And it was... You'd never get kids, which was great too. Nobody likes a sick kid. It was all adults. So in that respect, yeah, it was a little bit easier. Shoalhaven, you get kids and adults. But, yeah, St. Vincent's, it was a world of its own and I absolutely loved it. Yeah.
When you said it lit you up, like what part of it lit you up? Was it helping people or interacting with people? Or
helping people. Yeah. Helping people is just like... the best, like it's just the best thing that you can do. And just like, so like helping people doesn't have to be, you know, putting a cannula in and taking bloods and finding the diagnosis. It can be giving someone a cup of coffee. It can be giving someone a pat on the back and saying like, it's going to be okay. We're going to do what we can here. And at St. Vincent's, you could see the appreciation and it was very genuine. And everyone, there was like teamwork is, I never really understood teamwork either until I worked in an emergency department, and then you realise the roles that everyone plays and how everyone works together and collaborates together for the common good, I suppose. And it's something else. Like they've just put out another TV series on SBS about it and you can go in and you can watch it. And I'm sure everyone will see what I'm saying, because the people that work there are just... People that work in every hospital are just great. Like even Shoalhaven Hospital, they're fantastic. Like the nurses and the doctors up there are just awesome. And there's something about being able to be present in somebody else's vulnerability as well. And I did a lot of, and I still do a lot with Streetside Medics Homeless Health, which is just, I don't know what it is, but I just love it. Like I get along with the blokes, they have a good laugh. And it's gaining trust, and you've got to be vulnerable, and they've got to be vulnerable. And I think when people are given the time to do that and the space to do that, like that's like, it's just different. It's a different world of being a human. I don't know. It's not just the walking down the street. It's not being at, you know, even at the open homes. You know, like I'm a real estate agent now, but you'll do an open home on a Saturday. And some of the conversations I get into, because I'm just still a nurse, I think, I'll end up talking about like this one open home I had. I just ended up talking about the possums down in the trees down past Bega or something, and the the video, the cameras that they'd put up for the big spotty or something, and you can watch the glider cam down there and stuff. Like, this is the weirdest conversations I get into, and I think it's just because of the nursing and the vulnerability that I'm happy to always share.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's what it is. The vulnerability makes it really interesting and fun when you lean into it. Yeah.
I think, yeah, you do have that ability to connect with people really easily. And I remember getting a text message from my dad being like, did you know Crystal Brandon? I'm at Cabaga Folk Festival and she had me crying within minutes. And I wrote back like crying in a good way. He's like, you're crying with laughter.
Yeah, I was having a fun day that day. I think I'd had two beers by lunch or something. But no, that was a fun day. They were vulnerable too, you know. Like, this is the thing. There's like this human connection we can have and this power we can have when we come together if we just take down our guards. Like, they didn't know me and they were like, come and sit with us in the camp, you know. You're a friend of James, so everyone that's a friend of James is my friend. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I know your son. Like, oh, really? Like, yeah.
And okay, so you've obviously had that career that has lit you up in nursing and you've transitioned into real estate, which is also actually still helping people.
Yeah, it is.
Just in a different way. So yeah, tell us about how that transition happened, because I think a lot of people choose a career and they love it and might light them up, but they might be scared to change.
Yeah.
And it's actually takes a bit of courage to like go from what you've trained in at university to then go and start a completely different career. So talk us through that.
So I had my son in the October. I went back to work at Shoalhaven Emergency in probably the February, and I think I worked until the following October. And I probably went back to work way too early. We had some admissions through ED that were not great for a new mum to witness and see. And we also had the bushfires start in that October. So they started down near Milton. And there was a lady that I worked with closely, who I'm still good friends with, who fought those bushfires from that October until, what was it, the February. They affected you and your family as well. And I was in that October, I wasn't coping with being a new mum. I wasn't coping with... There's a lot of personal changes that happen when you become a new mom and an identity crisis. There's no other way to describe it. That's what happens. And I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I don't know if I want to do this. It's really hard. Every time I get home, I cry about work. And it was nothing. It was burnout and like postnatal depression all in one. And my husband, Glenn, was just like, I don't want to pick you up from work anymore crying. So let's just call this. You can just stay at home and be a mum. So I did, and I was just being a stay-at-home mum essentially from that October during those bushfires. And then I got a job at Stella Studios with Cianne, teaching some singing lessons, and then COVID hit. And then I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to go back to work now. I think I'm good. I can go back to work. It's all good. Baby's settled. All fine. Oh, if I went back to work, it would mean like 2 weeks of isolation after work, right? So I could go back to work and do 4 shifts for then 2 weeks off, because I couldn't, I'd have to isolate from my family. I was like, well, that's not plausible. I'm not doing that. And then real estate on the South Coast went nuts, because everyone was moving down from Sydney and getting out of Sydney and they wanted the big acreage. And Glenn's work was just crazy. And we have a great boss at Ray White, like gold, and he made everyone focus in, Glenn especially, which is quite hard to do, and go work from home and go as hard as they could during COVID instead of, oh, it'll be fine, you know, no relaxing. No, Craig was like, he was hammering it. He was hammering them. And so anyway, what happened from that was Glenn got super busy. And so Glenn was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to ever keep up with this. I need to employ someone. I need a PA. I need someone. I was like, well, I'll just volunteer. I'll just come to work and volunteer with you. So when the world went back to life and went back to normal, I went and volunteered for like 6 months at Ray White. And Craig let me, our boss. And I remember him sitting in the we were in cubicles. And I remember him sitting in the cubicle next to me, and I was like, I'd make phone calls. I'd be like, hello, this is Crystal from Ray White. How are you? And I'd be like, oh, my God, he's judging me. I'm never going to get this job. Or I'd like try and tap on my keyboard really quietly so I didn't offend him or anything, because I thought, oh, he's never going to give me this job. And then I've never left. That was it. I was lucky. When I was in Sydney and I was doing my nursing, I'd done my real estate certificate just in case this ever happened. And I was so lucky I had done it because it was just there ready to go. So I volunteered for like 6 months and then found I was pretty good at it and have not gone back.
So you love volunteering.
I hate getting paid. it's funny because, yeah, I wonder that sometimes. Yeah. I was brought up from a very young age always doing community theatre and it's all volunteer.
Yeah.
And it's quite funny. It's like, yeah, I have a lot more ownership over the work that I do, I think, when it's volunteering.
Yeah.
So it's quite weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, after that I just had a job at Ray White and I'm lucky I had a good boss that was like, yeah, she knows what she's doing. And the thing was as well, when I went to work with Glenn, the goal was always like one and one make three. Mm. So if we're not covering the ground that we need to, if we're not selling the right amount of houses, I'll just go back to nursing.
Mm.
And we've never sort of, since we've worked together, we've never really come under 45 houses a year sold.
Yeah.
Which is quite good for a regional couple in real estate.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are there other regional couples in real estate? Like, do you have like kind of like competing couples that
There's one couple in real estate now, no, in the Shoalhaven, but they're fine. There's enough to go around. Like, there's like, it's competition. Like, it's a competitive environment. Real estate's competitive, but I try and be competitive. It burns me out though.
Yeah.
And I know that. So I'm like, what's the point? I can only be me and they can only be them. So like if someone wants to sell with them and not me, like it's fine.
Yeah.
Like I'll get the next one. It's okay. Like there's enough to go around.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I do want to ask about that because there's going to be people who are listening to this who are thinking about maybe moving to Nowra or, yeah. You know, and what is the current kind of real estate landscape in Nowra? And then if people are listening to this 50 years in the future, this will be like a point in history. Like what's
time
the current?
Capsule.
Yeah, time capsule. What is the current state of, particularly around Nowra? Obviously, we've got the suburbs that are growing, the outer suburbs. But what's Nowra like? And then what's more so the landscape of the greater Nowra?
So Nowra CBD. Is that what you mean?
Yeah,
Nowra CBD.
Sure.
So you've got a mix in Nowra CBD. You've got a mix, but you've more so got like a high-end market and then a sort of low to mid market. So you've got those beautiful cottages that have been thoughtfully renovated around the showground that can fetch a million plus. And then you've got homes that are perfect for first home buyers that come in at probably 600 and go up to 850. And you don't have an awful lot that sit between 850 and a million.
Mm.
That will change. We have the low to mid-rise housing policy, which should start affecting around Nowra as well, which allows for more units and townhouses to be built on the bigger blocks of land, essentially. There's more to it, but we'll just stick with that. Mm. When we see people move to the Nowra CBD itself, especially around the showground, they are generally, if they've moved from out of the area, we see a lot of hospital workers, so nurses and doctors. We see it's not to stereotype or anything, but they are university educated and they're young couples and they might have one small under 6 years old, small child in that little pocket there. Everywhere else it can be a mix from investors to first home buyers to downsizers, but those streets up towards the showground from the CBD does seem to be a certain type of person that wants to live close to the CBD, wants to get a cup of coffee on the weekend, take the kids to the library. Yeah, they are generally speaking, either connected to the hospital or connected to the university or connected to council.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then talking about, like, I guess you've got Nowra CBD and then you've got these expanding areas like Warragee, which I saw some Facebook posts about. You guys are the
top agents for Warragee.
But also there's new suburbs emerging like near Kemble, like Batarang.
Batarang, yeah.
Talk us a little bit about the greater Shoalhaven.
Yeah, so Warragee, your median house price currently is at $760,000 as of yesterday, I think. We have sold houses anywhere from sort of 750 to 1.1 for a standard like four bedroom, two bathroom house on an 800 to 1200 square meter block. That's Warragee. Warragee, you get a mix again. You get downsizers from Sydney. You'll get young families moving down. It used to be very much for the Navy base. It used to be full of defence housing, and that's changed. And we also used to see a lot of people move out of the western suburbs of Sydney and move there. They would sell their house for 1.5, say, and buy a house down here for 850. So we do see that in Warragee as well. But then North Nowra and Bomaderry recently have seen like a huge influx of first home buyers as well, which is nice to see. Bomaderry, we get a few more people moving down from the Illawarra that don't want to cross the bridge, so from the Shell Harbour, Albion Park suburbs. And then Battagerang is a whole new beast of its own. It's funny, that one, because I know three people in there that are all downsizers from Kangaroo Valley. So it's interesting. It's going to be really, really interesting because it's not Camberwarra and it's not North Nowra and it's not Bomaderry. It's its own suburb, and it's the first stage of the South Mossvale urban release area. And we will also have the North Mossvale Road urban release area. So that will be a whole new landscape over there with industrial, commercial and residential zoning. So yeah, watch this space for Mossvale Road.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, there's a, there's these kind of new things, and we're seeing the state government put money into the riverfront precinct and these new estates. There is this kind of excitement of what is it going to be like, and it's a chance to rewrite things or start things new with these new developments.
It really is a chance to rewrite things. Yeah. And I think it's interesting, over the last 12, 18 months, we've seen a lot of people move to the Shoalhaven from the Blue Mountains and further west, like Dubbo and Orange. And you think, oh, they just want that coastal environment. What's underpinning them? Is it climate change? Is it getting really hot out there? Do we want the sea breezes? Is that what it is? And it's funny because those types of people that move here are underlyingly very creative. So I know one that was in a death metal punk band down in Melbourne, moved to the Blue Mountains, then moved to Camberwarra. Like, obviously, that's where all the artists live. And then I know another artist also called Crystal who moved from Kiama. I know another artist that they moved from the Blue Mountains. Then there was another artist I went to the other day in Bomaderry. They were moving down because they're... Anyway, there's artists everywhere and creatives coming from all sorts of places, but a lot from that west, out west and Blue Mountains area too. So, yeah.
And that's often what happens when things are more affordable, people get priced out of their location, which is happening in the cities and the suburbs, and creatives typically earning a little bit less, they're going to look for somewhere cheaper where they can cultivate those creative skills.
Well, I think we saw it first too when most of my friends from the inner west moved to Port Kembla. Right before COVID, I was like, why are they all moving to Port Kembla? And now you see that's got such a cool, vibrant, creative scene.
Yeah.
And we'll start to see that, I think, as well. I think it's known. I think people know Nowra enough in those circles. It's quite funny. I ran into a girl that I went to high school with at Hypo. She's working behind the counter. I was like, did you go to the Australian Institute of Music? She's like, yeah, I did. I was like, so did I. What are we doing here? Let's tell our friends. Like, come down here. There's gigs. You know, you can get a great job. You can work on your art. Like, what a place to be inspired to. Yeah. Like, I think that's a draw card as well.
Yeah. Well, speaking of inspired, I don't know how you have any spare time to be a real estate agent because you're involved with so many community organisations, the Nowra Players, Kangaroo Valley Folk Festival, Streetside Medics and the Shoalhaven Business Chamber and nowra.org.au. Plus you do heaps of other stuff because you're always posting about something on social media where you're something that doesn't involve any of those things. Why are these community organisations important to you, and what do you kind of get out of being involved in them?
I get a lot out of being involved in them. So there's that. I get a lot of contacts. I get to meet a lot of great people. So there's like that's people go, oh, she's only in them, so then she gets the house for sale. Like, okay, that's not a thing. I can prove that's not a thing. Do you want to meet my last 45 vendors? I over my like I'm 37 this year, gosh. And over my life I've done a bit. Like I went to the Australian Institute of Music, I studied music theatre, I went and became a registered nurse, I worked in a legal firm in Sydney before I moved down here. Now I'm in real estate, like I've done, and it's nice to be able to take everything that I've learned and somehow disperse it. So in the Kangaroo Valley Folk Festival, I help with their approvals and things with council, performer selection, and then set up on the day and some comms and some marketing and things like that. So that's all Australian Institute of Music training. And it's nice to go, oh, I'm finally using what I learned in my Cert 3 and 4 of music, right? And then with the nursing, it's 2 hours on a Tuesday at Streetside Medics. So I can go to my sales meeting at Bomaderry, go and do my 2 hour Streetside Medics shift as a registered nurse and then put my suit back on and sell a house, you know. That's great. At least I get to use that skill, like that bachelor degree that I spent time, effort and money on, right? And then the business chamber just sort of rounds it all off. I get to meet all of these amazing new businesses that are and the amazing people that are spending time creating those businesses too. And a lot of the time they're creative or they might have a food truck and I'll be like, come to the folk festival or, you know, it all does. It doesn't seem like it all links up, but it really does. And then Nowra Players, that's my guilty pleasure. That's my like, you want to see what Crystal's really about, come see a show at the Nowra Players. That's like, people are like, oh, you're really good at this. I'm like, yeah, but have you seen me act? No, I'm only joking. I love getting up on stage and playing a role that I wouldn't otherwise do and exploring that person and that character and what they're about and, you know, what makes them tick is really interesting to me. Yeah. But I'll only pick certain shows. I won't just do every show, which is why I've only done shows with Nowra Players as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, like, when I think about real estate, actually it ties everyone together because everyone has a house, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, regardless of what you do or where you go, like, you do need a house. But also, like, I think real estate is a lot about trust, right? You have to build rapport and trust. And I know you're not saying you're doing those things, but I guess I see what it's how they're connected because part of what you're doing is being in the community, building trust. And then if someone does need to sell a home or buy a home, they're like, I already trust Crystal. You know, it's already inbuilt and it's probably why you guys are quite successful.
It is. And it's hard to gain people's – it's getting harder and harder to gain people's trust because, you know, the world is wild. But it does help in that respect because, yeah, the worlds do collide and people do go, oh, that's Crystal. I know her from this or that, the other. But it's definitely not the intention. It's just fun. When I was little – I was thinking about this the other day, actually. When I was little, I remember being at my, like – end of year party for year seven. It was at my house and we had all these kids there and everyone was like, what do you want to be when you're older? What do you want to be when you're older? And I was like, I want to be everything. And I'm like, oh, I'm everything. Like I've actually done that. Like I'm a nurse and a real estate agent and I get to do my theater and I get to like, how lucky. Like the other thing is we have no traffic. Like you can't do this in Sydney. I couldn't go and do a shift and then go back to work. Like you just couldn't. Like you talk to the real estate agents at Ray White up in Newtown and they have like a team of five just so that someone can go ahead to start the next open home. Like, you know, we only have to schedule, my husband schedules 15 minutes between opens, which is the worst, but you only have to schedule 20 minutes to get from one to the next, right? Yeah. You can't do that in Sydney.
Yeah.
Like I'm sitting here with you today, what's it, 1:40, and I can go back to the office, do a couple more hours work, go pick my son up, take him to swimming, sit there. Like the other thing is we have great, like people bag the infrastructure. I can go and sit at my son's swimming lessons on, which is in a council pool, like they might be listening, use the Wi-Fi that's there and keep working.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Like that's 2026, I get it, but like you couldn't do that in 1996. So like my mum couldn't do that, you know? World's awesome.
I've never actually thought about that, but yes, yeah. I lived in New York City. Traffic was horrendous.
Yeah.
I live west of Nowra, 15 kilometres west of Nowra, and It always takes me 14 minutes. It's never been more than 15 minutes, and it's usually not less than 13, but it's always like 14 minutes to get from door to door wherever I need to go. So
it's so good. And I have this choir. Like I go on Monday nights, I go to choir. I sing in the Joyful Strains Community Choir.
Oh, yeah. There's another, right? another group one. We missed.
Yeah. And I, you know, I take my son out to the Nest after school to do his rock climbing. I meet my husband in town. He takes him. I go to choir. An hour there, then I had to go, I'm doing Stars an hour, I had to go to my dance lesson, 5 minutes over in Bomaderry, and that's finished, I'm 5 minutes to home. Like, you can't do that even in Wollongong.
Yeah.
Like, that is, we're so lucky in that respect. Like,
Or except if this podcast goes really well and everybody moves here, and then we'll have a bunch of traffic and we'll have to...
Then we might be on e-bikes by then. So the price of petrol
people
might be
already
on e-bikes.
Are, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so... If someone was moving to Nowra, obviously people have a vast array of things they're interested in, but like what are some of the community groups you would recommend them joining? What are your recommendations?
Of any age,
yep.
Nowra players.
Nowra players.
100%.
Yeah.
It is a place for 6-year-olds up to 106-year-olds. Thursdays they have an equivalent of what I call the men's shed, but it's called Tim Tams, and they all get together, and you can be of any age as well. If you're a mum and you just want to have some time out, you can go there too, and they will work for the next production. So they'll do the costuming and they'll do the scenes and the staging, the backdrops and everything for the next show. Or you can be on stage, or you can do front of house, or you can just be a part of Nowra Players. Like, you want to go and do... They've just started a choir on a Sunday afternoon as well, but they have play reading nights, they have improv nights. And if you just really love going to the theatre, like, that is where you should be. They'll welcome you with open arms. They were the first people to welcome me. So I'd start there. If you love footy, you can't go past the Bomaderry Tigers. Oh, my goodness. That ground, Artie Smith, it's like, do I live in Geelong or Nowra? They are awesome. That club is unreal. Again, 6 to 106 years old, male, female, doesn't matter. They will welcome you in with open arms. They are the funniest bunch of people, and they're great. What else? Bomaderry Tigers and Nowra Players are just awesome. The Business Chamber, obviously. Shoalhaven Business Chamber is great.
Yeah.
A lot of people do get put off, though. They think they need to be like big business.
Yeah.
Most of our members are actually micro and small business. Yeah. And even if you're just thinking of starting a business, and also ask your employer if your business is a member, because a lot of the time people don't realise that their employer is the member and then they feel they can come along.
Yeah.
What else? There's so many good community groups, though. Like, I've just realized, I've just met some people from the Lions Club. They're great. There's so many things.
Yeah.
There's so many things to get involved in. Even some of the sailing clubs out at Jervis Bay are unreal too. And the sailing club we have here in town.
Yep.
I know the rowers club wants more rowers. Everyone's more than willing to give someone a go.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's what I've found too, coming back here. And just one of the examples is, you know, I'm a meditation teacher. I don't have any employees, but I joined the business chamber and it was super welcoming. And then they encouraged me to apply for best community organization last year in the business awards. And so, like, even that, whereas, like, I probably don't fit in the typical, like, business structure, it was still so awesome to meet all those people, and people from the business chamber have come and learned to meditate, and so it's been good for my business and it's been great. So
there's always a place for someone if you put your hand up and say, like, I'm here, this is what I've done, or this is what I can do, and I'm willing to help. People will take you on. And yeah, the business awards is a great way to meet the business chamber, and it's free to enter. It's promotion for yourself and your business. Whether you win or not. There's great community organisations here. I'm trying to think of more, though, but there's a lot.
Awesome. No, that's a good smattering. All right, last few rapid-fire questions.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been a moment in Nowra that has left a lasting positive impression for you?
There was this one day. So I don't want to go with the stock standard, like when they opened the bridge. That was cool.
It was,
It was really cool. Everyone showed up and walked across. Like, that was fun. But... there was this one day, and Glenn was there, so he will vouch for me this happened. We were coming up along Berry Street in front of Spaghetti Junction, And I think I'd just had a rough day. I don't know. It was one of those blisteringly cold days. The winds are, Berry Street can get pretty windy when it wants to. It looks like it wants to rain, probably 10 o'clock in the morning. Walking across Berry Street, I was going towards the car park next to the School of Arts. And I just must have looked like I was having the roughest day of ever. And this guy came, he's got a Collingwood jersey on. And he looked like an interesting sort of character. And he just went, "Oh, love, cuddle." And I went, "Yup." And just gave this guy the biggest cuddle. And my husband's standing there going, "Are you all right?" And he went, "They are. You go get them now." And then I just, that was it. I was like, that is the funniest thing that has ever happened in Nowra. But it was so good. And I was like, yeah, but why not just have a cuddle? Yeah. Like, why not? Like, that guy was like, "Oh, cuddle." Like, you know, like, you need one. Like,
that's awesome.
And, you know, you can, like, talk about crossing the bridge. That was really fun, crossing the bridge. Yeah. And the Yeti, the Nowra Yeti. That was another great thing. I don't know if you were living here then. Skoda had this Skoda Nowra open, and there was this Yeti, Spot the Yeti around town. And like, there's been some fun things, fun campaigns and fun things that happened. But honestly, that was such a funny human, like heart to heart, quick exchange and see you later. And it stuck with me because it was only in the first couple of years of doing real estate too. So who knows what my head was like then. But yeah, love cuddle. That. Yeah, cuddle. I was like... That's my most memorable.
If man with Collingwood jersey, if you're out there listening to this podcast,
I have seen him.
Made Crystal's day. And the opening of the bridge was very cool too. I agree. It was very community centric. And I remember walking across that bridge with my grandfather in his mid 90s, dad, my sister, and her daughter. So four generations of Hansons all kind of walked the opening of the new bridge. So
it was pretty fun. It was pretty. It was cool to see everyone show up.
Very unifying.
Yeah.
All right. Last couple questions. What do you hope Nowra feels like in 10 years?
I hope it is welcoming. I hope that everyone has a place. I hope Nowra feels like a really welcoming place, and I hope that everyone feels like they genuinely have their place. There can be a lot of us and them mentality and even things said in passing that even myself I need to fix, and it's not helpful, but I can see the haves and the have-nots, and it's on the ground in Nowra, and it can be not embraced, but it can be sort of, it can paint a negative picture, and people can pick up on the have-nots as opposed to the haves. And I think everyone needs to acknowledge that it's actually a pretty cool place. And the more we emphasize the negative, that's the narrative, that's what we'll start telling ourselves. And we need to not do that. I think we need to take pride in our town, because there's so many people that do, and there's so many people that rely on us too as well. And I think I see that in my son. Like I said, I grew up in Campbelltown and I joke and stuff, but it was so good growing up there, you know, like it was interesting. And, you know, I saw my first fight when I was 10 at Campbelltown Station, and I had friends that, you know, got bashed or whatever when I was like 14 and stuff. But I look back and I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I grew up there. I'm so glad that I learnt those lessons young, you know. And I'm glad that I can see it on the other side as well. And I can see that where it was a little bit dangerous or it was a little bit interesting, it was also very – the people that showed up for you, they really showed up for you. And it was also very, humbling, I guess, as well. And I didn't, and now I don't so much focus on the have and have not. I don't really see it. I see that everyone has something positive to give. I think that's because of that. I hope that makes sense. You're the meditation teacher. So work out what I just said, Baron. I don't know.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Focus on the positive, not the negative. And see what that does if you just did that every day instead of, like, the negative. I don't know. I wonder what it would be like. I just hope that in 10 years' time it stays as welcoming as it can feel on the days that it feels welcoming.
And that's aligned with what we're trying to do with nowra.org.au, is like tell these positive stories, show the good things, amplify those good stories so that it's louder than the rest, you know?
Yeah, everywhere has its... You lived in New York,
yeah,
right? Everywhere has its interesting places. Sometimes they're only interesting in a certain part of the day too, right? We don't need to focus on when they're interesting, when they're difficult, when they're hard. We need to focus on when they're happy and friendly and positive instead.
Yeah. So who is one person you'd love to hear on this podcast?
Ooh, on this podcast.
From Nowra.
Okay, for Nowra. For Nowra?
From Nowra.
From Nowra. I would have loved to have heard Jimmy Little, but he's passed away. That would have been cool. Living. Nookie.
All right. Nookie, you're on season 2.
Yeah.
Big things coming. And last one, any asks of the people of Nowra?
Just to be kind. Like, it takes, like, no effort to be kind. And I think the kinder we are to each other and the more... we can respect that the work is being done and that we're trying. Everyone's trying the best that they can in every role, from the man that's street sweeping the council steps in the morning to, you know, the parking police. Like, they're just doing their job, you know. Just be kind. It's not hard. Yeah, be kind. That's all.
Be kind. Thank
be
you very
kind.
Much.
Sounds very hippy, doesn't it?
Thanks, Crystal Brandon, for coming on the show. We look forward to catching up with you very soon on the next episode. See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the nowra.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen. We're recording in Triple U Studios in Nowra CBD. It's a community radio station. Our producer here is Paul Murphy. Nowra.org.au is funded by the New South Wales Government Uptown Accelerator Program. If you'd like more information, visit nowra.org.au or follow us on socials, subscribe to the mailing list. See you next time.